I'm happy to see so many of you here. I was thinking it might be like me and five friends, so I'm glad that you're here, and so welcome. Thank you for coming. My name is Tiffany Perry, and you are in the workshop for keeping your home in order. So if you're in the wrong place, you're stuck now. You can't leave. You have to stay. You have to stay with me. So, I have a little confession to share with you. I am a self-professed neat freak. My friends and family, they know this about me. I think it kind of drives them a little bit nuts, but I am a neat freak, and my husband always tells me he knows the quickest way to my heart is to make the bed and to put fresh vacuum lines in the family room carpet, which I think is kind of sad because I like chocolate and I like flowers, but fresh vacuum lines in the living room carpet really just kind of sets my heart all aflutter. That's like my love language, I think. Cleaning the house is my love language. But keeping your home in order is more than being neat and tidy. It's not about having an alphabetized pantry or color coding your linen closet. I have a junk drawer, too, and every once in a while I have to close the door on that cluttered room so I don't see it. But really what it's about is about making choices that count. Like, that's what our theme is for today, making choices that count and setting those realistic priorities for yourself and your family. And, you know, we all have different perspectives and different priorities. My schedule and my time are different than yours. The gal sitting to your right and to your left is going to manage her life differently than you do. But no matter our different lifestyles, no matter our different families, our work, one thing is the same. We all serve the same God. There's not a God, amen. There's not a God of the stay-at-home mom and the working mom. There's not a God of the single woman and the married woman. There is one God, and he is sovereign, and he does not change, and he meets you right where you are at. And if you take one thing with you today, take that our Lord, the creator of the universe, the King of Kings, reaches down into your life, and he meets you right where you are at. And be encouraged by that. Well, my goal for today is to share some biblical and some practical priorities, three to be exact, practical choices that you can make to keep your home and you in order. And there's not really hard and fast rules, but there is an order, and it's not my order, it's God's order. And I really want to encourage you today as we go through all of these to be open to the Lord and to the Holy Spirit, really kind of quickening your heart, sort of tapping you on the shoulder with that one thing that he has for you today. Because I don't want you to walk out of here feeling like you have a to-do list. But I do want you to walk out of here with one choice that you think that you could make for you or your family and your home. And when you identify what that one choice is, I want you to remember that it's from God to you, and it's to you alone. Galatians 6:4 tells us, pay careful attention to your own work, for then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done, and you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else, for we are each responsible for our own conduct. He has a word for you today, and you don't need to compare yourself to anyone else. So let's pray, and let's ask him to do that for us today. Heavenly Father, Lord, we praise you and we thank you for bringing each of us here today. And we are here because we want to make choices that count. And we ask you, Lord, to show us that one thing that you have for us today, that one choice that we can make. We ask you to commit it to our hearts. We want to do what it is that you've set before us and know that you will equip us for every good work that you've called us to. Lord, we ask you to be in our midst right now and speak to our hearts, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so let's get started. The woman who makes choices that count is first choosing him. Choosing him is the first choice. Family is our first ministry, but God is our first priority. Matthew 6:33, probably a very familiar verse. Seek first the kingdom of God above all else. Live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. If our goal is to seek order in our lives and in our homes, then that begins and ends with him, with the Lord. You'll find God's heart and his order for your life in his word. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all scripture is inspired by God, and it is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Of all the choices that you can make in a day, this one counts the most. To be the woman he desires and to meet the needs of everyone who needs you, and I know there's lots of people who need you, you need to set aside that daily, uninterrupted time to meet with the Lord, because he wants to equip you for that good work. I love this quote by J. Gregory Mantle. It says, we cannot be made a blessing to others without perceiving that virtue is gone out of us. And unless this is constantly renewed by loving communion with heaven, the service becomes little more than dead work. And that's the last thing we want, is for our service to our families and to our homes to be dead work. Now, you can decide where and when the time is that you're going to be with the Lord. It's not so much about finding time, though. It's about making time. And I'm not going to stand up here and say it should be from 6 to 9 a.m. and it should be for 33 minutes and it should be before your feet touch the floor. I'm not going to put that kind of restriction on it and parameters, but I will say this, that God is deserving of our first thoughts. And if everyone else is getting your first and your best, then he's being placed second. And ladies, God is second to none. For me personally, the mornings work best, and I've seen the difference that it makes to start my day off with him, because often his word to me is precisely what I need for that day. And if I would have waited to the end of the day, I would have missed out on that. And if I do anything that's quiet or restful after 7 o'clock, I usually fall asleep. So mornings are the best time for me when I'm alert and awake. And I really encourage you to do that, to start your day with the Lord, to start with prayer, to ask him to really open his word to you and to help you see what that one thing is that he has for you for that day. And you know, it's not always some huge revelation or some, you know, sign that's dropping from heaven in front of you. But that's okay, because you're still storing that word away and you're knowing that his word never returns void. Now, I brought my, I'm going to switch to this mic. Can you hear me? Okay. I brought what's lovingly become known. I don't know if this is a Harvest thing or a all-over Christian woman thing. The quiet time basket. And I'm sure that many of you have seen this before and maybe you have one, but I brought mine with you so you could sort of see what my quiet time looks like, and some of just the tools. They're just tools, really. I have my Bible in here, and I use the one-year Bible because I really love the way it's organized, and that's just kind of how my mind works. But it has a reading from the Old Testament, the New Testament, Psalms, and Proverbs for every day. So it's a really great way to just get into the Word. That's the most important, is your Bible. I have several, but I have a few favorite devotionals in here. My Utmost for His Highest is an excellent one. I highly recommend it. If you don't have it, get it. It will change your walk with the Lord, and you will grow in tremendous ways. Streams in the Desert is another great one. You're nodding, so I know you're familiar with these. This is a great one if you're going through a trial or someone you know is walking through a trial. Excellent. Let's see. I have a notebook in here where I'm pulling all kinds of stuff out here. I write down prayer requests, so when someone asks me to be praying for them, I actually am. I remember what I'm supposed to be praying for. I write down verses and notes, that one thing that the Lord shows me for every day. I write it down and I have it, and then I can reflect back on that to what God has spoken just to me. That's there. I have a copy of just, instead of the one-year Bible, which my one-year Bible is the New Living Translation, this is the actual Bible. Well, the other one's an actual Bible too, but this is the full Bible, not divided up. And this is the New King James Version. And I only have this in here because that's kind of what I grew up on. And sometimes the New Living Translation verses, while they're really applicable, they don't translate for me. So I like to have this in here. I have pens and highlighters. And this is primarily so that everything is in one place. I can sit down. I can spend time with the Lord. I'm not running to the other room for a pencil, running to the other room for another book. It's all here in one place. I have some other favorite devotionals in here. Morning and Evening by Charles Spurgeon is a great one, with a reading for morning, for evening. I also have this Jesus Wants All of Me, and this is my son's devotional. And this is actually the kids' version of My Utmost for His Highest. Little tiny snippet that we read in the morning together before he goes to school. It's called Jesus Wants All of Me. And they have this one, and they also have a bedtime one. Really cute to do with the kids. And sometimes when my utmost for his highest is like too deep for me, I can go to the kids version and lays it out nice. And this is actually a great little DVD that is done by Kathy and Brittany Laurie. It's called Enjoying Your Quiet Time with God, an encouraging conversation with Kathy and Brittany Laurie. It's about a half an hour video of Kathy giving Brittany kind of words of encouragement for her quiet time, what it should look like, how Kathy does it, her recommended devotions. It's a really neat resource for you, or for, if you have a daughter or a young woman in your life who you want to really encourage. And it comes with a great little journal, too. I think the bookstore is selling it for like $10, and then you get your 20% off. So there you go. You'll be all set. So that's just kind of, I'm going to switch. There's not really a precise formula. Those are really just tools. Those just add to God's word. The devotions are just encouragement for people that have gone before us. It's really just about committing to daily set yourself at the Lord's feet. And if something happens and you don't, or you don't get to it that day, or it doesn't happen in the exact time and place, that's okay. Just purpose to make that the exception, not the norm, and get there and spend that time with the Lord. But, you know, God doesn't want to be just another habit. When we have a personal relationship with him, there's joy in knowing him more. And so we want that to be a time of joy. And don't allow the enemy to rob you of that joy by putting restrictions or requirements on it, or by convincing you that you're doing it the wrong way. There is no wrong way to be in God's word. And you know, I might not have all the tools or the resources or the devotion, but nothing is keeping me from God. Psalm 25:12, him shall he teach in the way he chooses. We hide his word in our hearts, and we remember that we're only ever one thought away from him. Spurgeon, from Morning and Evening, a great quote. There is no moment of our life, however holy, in which we must do without his constant upholding. Whether in light or in darkness, in communion or in temptation, we need only to pray. You're only ever one thought away from the Lord. So make the time to choose him first. Your best is better, but something is better than nothing. Okay, second choice. The woman who makes choices that count is choosing home. Choosing home. So the Lord comes first, but next in his order is our home and our family. And for you, this could include your husband if you're married, kids, stepkids, your home in general. Maybe you care for your parents. Maybe your parents live with you. Whatever makes up your home. And I already told you that I'm a self-professed neat freak, but I also have other vices, many, I'm sure. But I also schedule everything, and I love lists. That's kind of how I work. And I mostly do that because if I don't write it down, I forget it. And I know this has happened to you. This happens to me all the time, where you walk into a room, and then you think, I have no idea why I just came in here. What am I in here for? And it's because on the way to the room, I thought of five other things that I needed to do, and then I can never remember anything. So we just have way too much to remember. We're way too busy. We're responsible for so much. But choosing home is really about creating that place that you and your family want to be and return to. It's about having that refuge, that haven. And as women and wives, we most often set the tone for our home. You know, the Lord usually has called us to be that home manager. And really our goal is to not be creating additional chaos or unnecessary disorder. There's enough chaos and disorder around us. We don't want to create that in our homes. Proverbs 14:1. A wise woman builds her home, but a foolish woman tears it down with her own hands. Our God is a God of order. Does our home and our family reflect his order? We want our homes to be built on that solid rock. He's our foundation, and our house should reflect that light from the inside out. And when it comes to keeping your home in order, hopefully the people around you, the people that you live with, are on your side and they value what you're trying to do and they contribute to that. But I know that that's not always the case. But you know, God can do great things when we purpose to do, not to say, but to model his heart in our home. And we can all strive to be that woman of 1 Peter whose godly life speaks without words. We have that gentle and quiet spirit. And this is huge for our children, to be teaching them about this, teaching them to make choices that count, teaching them about accountability and about God's design for our family. And the idea really is that you set realistic priorities for yourself and for your home and your family. What's that one thing you can do to bring order to your home? And then start there. I'm going to share some practical steps that you can take to bring order to your home. I'm not reinventing the wheel here. These are basic things that you can do. But what I do want to ask you to do as we think about this is to kind of shift your perspective and remember that all that we do is unto the Lord. He doesn't ask us to like it. He doesn't even ask us to feel like it. But we serve our home and our family in obedience and in service to the Lord. There's always going to be that task that you don't like. But if you can practice that shift in perspective, rather than complain, give thanks to the Lord, do it for him, and remember that he always meets you right where you're at. So the first thing you can do, kind of a practical tip, is to schedule, because I like to schedule. Get a calendar. A little bit louder. Let me get a little bit closer. Okay, better? Okay. So schedule. Find a calendar that you like. And we have calendars especially for moms. There's calendars especially for women. You have your computer, your phone, handheld devices, whatever it is. This is my calendar. Sorry about the switching mics. This is my calendar. I can't do electronic. I have to see it. It has to be in pencil because I have to be able to erase it. And I have had this little nifty little easel that I bought for like a dollar at Joann's or something. And my calendar always is up and it's out and it's in front of me. So I can see what's going on. I know what's going on. It's not a surprise to me. So it should be portable. It should be accessible. It should be usable. You should keep it with you. I like to use a pencil because I need to erase. I used to be a pen person. I'm not anymore. Plan. The idea is to plan with purpose. Like Pastor Greg always says, pay attention with intention. Be intending to kind of plan and purpose to know what's going on. When you schedule, you want to do the who, what, where, and when. The why and how are important, but they come later. Who, what, where, and when. Proverbs 21:5, good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. Know the needs of your household and then develop a schedule and a routine that works for you, for your cleaning, for your laundry, for your meals, activities, work events, whatever it might be. Maybe you want to clean on Mondays. That's your cleaning day. Shop on Tuesdays. Thursdays, maybe that's out because your kids have games. Write it down, set a plan, and then do your best to stick to it. I've always purposed for myself to not plan anything outside the home on Monday mornings, and I kind of do what I call a clean sweep of my house. I'm not doing deep cleaning, but I sort of tidy, I clean up, sort of declutter. I purpose to be home that morning to kind of get myself back together after the weekend, check my calendar, know what's going on. Maybe for you, you have to do that on a Saturday. If you work outside the home, maybe Saturday is your only day to take care of things. But find what works for you and try and divide your time and your tasks into manageable pieces, because you're going to get more done and you're not going to feel overwhelmed and have that constant what's coming next looming over your head. Be aware of what's coming next, the next day, the next week, so you can stay a step ahead. And you can get your family involved with this so that they keep you informed. I have my husband trained, and I use the term trained lovingly and with much respect, to give me all of his schedules. Let me know what's going on, please. He plays in the sports ministry. Give me all the sports schedules so I know what's going on, so I can put it on the calendar, so it's not like 3 o'clock on Saturday and he's like, did I mention I have to leave at 4:30 for a game? So I know what's happening. I will be able, you will be able, to more effectively anticipate and then meet the needs of your family if you're informed and if you're organized. Maybe you need to have an information center in your house, one place for all the info, with a calendar for the family. I have a calendar on the fridge. I transfer things from my calendar to the calendar on the fridge so everyone knows what we're doing and when we're doing it. And this is huge for your kids too, to let them know that they need to value not only their time, what they're planning, but also to value your time. You want to be able to meet their needs. You want them to value your time. Scheduling and planning saves you time because you'll be on time. You're not going to be rushed and panicked and not knowing what's coming next. You won't be wasting time because you'll be using your time effectively. You can enjoy that downtime without something, that impending thing hanging over your head. It's even going to save you money. You're not going to be driving around aimlessly. You know your errands, what day you like to get them done. I know where every post office and bank is, like on every route, so that I can get everything done in one sweep. I'm not, you know, doing everything in different days. You're able to multitask. You can stick to your list. You're not shopping. This is bad. I go to Target and you kind of walk around and you think, oh, that's cute. I think I'll get it. But when I have my list, then I stick to my list and I don't stray from that. Now, do things always go according to plan? No. Proverbs 16:9 says, we make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. He really only asks you to handle today. Tomorrow will worry about its own things, but we want to be good stewards of the time that he's given us. So first, we schedule. Second, we count the cost. And this is the why and the how. This is where we're praying about our priorities and our values. And if you're married, this is probably something that you and your husband are going to do. You're going to determine the priorities for your family. You're going to decide how much time and money and energy you're going to spend on things. And you're probably choosing to delegate responsibilities, who does finances, who does schedules, cooking, cleaning, all those things. If you're single, then you determine these things for your household, and you need to pray and plan over them. But then as things come across your schedule, invitations, activities, you ask why and how. Is it in line with your values and your priorities? Is it in line with God's order for you and your family? Now, here's a couple tips when you count the cost. The first tip, no is not a four-letter word. People will still like you if you say no. Don't overcommit yourself or your family. You will sacrifice what is most important, and that's each other. Quality and quantity time as a family is a priceless choice with eternal benefits. Coaches, teachers, outside family and friends, they don't decide your priorities. You do, or you and your husband do, your family does. I have a good friend of mine who shared the story with me, and I'll share it with you. She has two boys who are actively involved in sporting events. And when they got the schedule for these events, they quickly saw that there were many games that were going to be held on Sundays. And so they sat down as a family and they prayed about it. And they decided they were going to commit to participating in this event, to this activity for the boys. But if there was a game that fell during the times that they were going to be at church, they would not be participating in that game. And the boys agreed, and they agreed that this was the best choice for their family. They needed to be at church on Sunday morning. So they went to the coach, and they said, you know, we're fully invested in this. We're going to participate. But if a game falls during these hours, we will not be there. We'll come to the next one. Wasn't a popular choice, and it was a choice that they had to defend, but God has honored it and brought great fruit out of that, because this woman now leads a Bible study with women, moms from this team, because they were so impressed at how her boys were willing to defend this choice to not be at the game, but to be at church first. It was a huge no, but it valued their family first. For my family, something on a smaller scale, when my son started kindergarten, we were constantly getting these invitations to class birthday parties. I was like, somebody's having a birthday every week. And my husband and I sat down and we counted the cost. And we said, it's a huge commitment of our time, and it's a huge commitment of our finances. So blanket rule, no classroom birthday parties. We have enough friends and family and birthday parties, more than enough. We're not going to do classroom birthday parties. If the why and the how of a choice are not in line with your values, graciously say no. It may be hard, and it may be a sacrifice, but trust that God is going to honor you choosing your family. Saying no to a few lesser things leaves you open to say yes to a few greater things. So people will still like you if you say no. Second tip, don't leave for later what can be done now. Don't procrastinate. And the Lord reminds me of this all the time. I'll think, oh, I'll just do it later. And he'll say, you're not promised later. Do it now. It's like constantly, okay, I'll do it now. Proverbs 31:27, she carefully watches everything in her household and suffers nothing from laziness. Determine the value of your time and then redeem the time in the best way suited for you. This is another reason why it's so important for us to start our day with the Lord, because we need that wisdom the whole day through to be making all these decisions. Ephesians 5:16, see that you walk circumspectly, careful, and exact, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Use your time wisely and establish the standard for your time, and look for creative ways to manage your time. Maybe you have those things in your life that take way too much time than you intend, like email and Facebook. That's a bad one sometimes. Phone calls. And you know, none of those things are bad in and of themselves. Sometimes you need a little time check. Maybe you need to set a timer. I'm giving myself 5 minutes to be on email, and then that's it. I'm giving you 5 more minutes on the phone, and then I got to get off. Maybe you spend a lot of time waiting to pick your kids up from school. That's a huge chunk of time for me. I use that time wisely to read, if I'm needing to read a book, or sometimes to read my Bible, if that's what I need to do, to check my schedule, return a phone call. Cell phones are so nice. Return a phone call anywhere you are. Maybe for you, it needs to be your lunch hour. Maybe you can use your lunch hour to have your quiet time or to run some of those errands. That way you won't have to do them on Saturday. Did you know that 2 minutes right now, if you take something to do 2 minutes now, it can save you 10 minutes today, 5 hours a month, and 60 hours a year. That's over 1 hour a week redeemed to do whatever you want or like or need. What can you do in 2 minutes? You can make a to-do list. What do you want to accomplish today? What do I need to get done today? What's the Lord put before me? You can make the bed. Did you know 80% of the room is clean for 16 hours a day when you make the bed? That's a pretty huge accomplishment. That's why I love having the bed made. Here's some 2-minute time savers. You can hang up clothes. You could throw out junk mail. You could pick up the shoes. You could load the dishwasher, file the paperwork, sort the laundry, water a plant, pay a bill, RSVP, and you will have counted the cost, so you'll know. You can say no, and that takes less than 2 minutes, so you gained a minute already. You could send a card. You could have a cup of coffee, respond to an email, pray for someone, plan dinner, clean off the counters, kiss your kids. I threw that one in there. Lay out tomorrow's clothes, set the table, or tidy up the house. Little steps that make a huge difference in how your day looks. And you can get the family involved with this. Have them pick a task that they want to do. Do a 5-minute cleanup. Turn the music on real loud for 5 minutes. Tell everybody 5 minutes to clean up as much as we can in 5 minutes. Think how much your child's future spouse, and especially you moms of boys, how much will their future spouse appreciate that you taught them to pick up their shoes and put their socks in the hamper? Can you imagine the difference we could make? We taught our boys to put their socks in the hamper. That's huge. I could go on and on, but bottom line, you determine what works for you. What's that one thing that you can do to choose home? Okay, choice three. The woman who makes choices that count is choosing herself. And that might sound a little funny to you, choosing herself. My friend and I were looking at this new business that opened up across from her house, this meditation place. It's called All About Me. And I thought, well, isn't that just the world's perspective? It's all about me. What's good for me? What works for me? What's right for me? But you have committed to make choices that count. And you are first choosing him, and you're choosing home. And you have your order in that too. You're number three. But depending on your family, maybe you're number six, or maybe you're number eight. But you are deserving of rest and refreshment. And sometimes you do need to make an appointment with yourself. Time to enjoy the things that you like to do. And God wants that for you. Hebrews 4:10. For all who have entered God's rest have rested from their labors, just as God did after creating the world. In Mark 6, we see Jesus taking the disciples and saying to them, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. And you know, this is a choice too that we have to choose wisely. We need to seek the Lord. We need to enlist the support of our family, and we need to choose ourselves when it's right and when it's appropriate. Don't go home and tell your husband, that lady at Harvest told me it's all about me and I'm choosing myself first. Don't be sending husbands and children after me, but choose wisely. You need to choose a time for fellowship and friendship. God did not design us to be alone. We're created for companionship and for fellowship. Ecclesiastes 4:9, two people are better off than one, for they help each other succeed. Surround yourselves with those friendships that lift you up and encourage your walk with the Lord. We don't want to be going to friends and complaining and gossiping, but we want people that we can talk to and share things with. Sometimes we even need to vent a little, and you want those friends around you that can give you that wise counsel. They can point you back to God's word and encourage you, because the words that we speak and the people that we surround ourselves with, those are choices that count too. Make time for fellowship through God's word. Come to church. Get involved. This is my plug for Women's Bible Fellowship. Get involved in Women's Bible Fellowship. Get involved in the many ministries our church offers. There's the Mentoring Matters ministry. Great ministry to learn more about your home and your family. Wonderful ministries. And that's really choosing him too. That's choosing the Lord too, but it's something for you. And it's so important that as women, as believers, we don't get disconnected from the body of Christ. We want to get involved and we want to serve. Serving is a wonderful way to make new friends, to meet people, and to grow in our walk with the Lord. Maybe you make time for yourself by having a date night. Maybe with your husband, maybe with your girlfriends, maybe with your kids. I take my son out on regular date nights, Mommy and Dylan date nights, and he loves it. It doesn't have to be something expensive. You could go out to coffee with a friend. You could sit in the backyard with your husband and kind of unwind. You could take a walk. you could just meet someplace, meet at the park, and spend some time with your friends. Make time to enjoy the company of the people that you cherish. Maybe you have an amazing gift that God's given you. Maybe you enjoy doing crafts or sewing, or you have a special hobby, or you really like to read and to study. Maybe you love to cook. Maybe you like to exercise. More power to you if you love to exercise. But are you making those choices? Are you taking care of your health? Are you making those wise choices about your lifestyle? And you're taking time for you doesn't mean that you don't love and value your family, because you're choosing home first, right? Before you choose yourself. But it's going to let you better meet their needs. It's going to help you appreciate them. It's going to help them appreciate you. If your front door of your house starts to look like an escape hatch, you need to make wisdom. Use wisdom and take time for a break. Take that time to rest and relax. Find that one thing that you love to do and make time to do it. It's okay to choose yourself sometimes. Well, I could go on and on, really, with ideas and choices, and we've really just scratched the surface. For some of you, I know that these choices are probably natural and easy. Maybe you are just an orderly and an organized person. For some of you, maybe you're not, and you really have to purpose and plan and pray to do that. And you know, we can think of hundreds of reasons or excuses why we can't make these choices. But none of those are new to the Lord. He knows our time and he knows our ways. And remember, he meets you right where you are at. All you have to do is seek him, and he will generously give you the wisdom you need. And I have good news for you. You made all three of these choices today. You chose him because you came to church to learn and to grow in his word and to grow in your walk with him. You chose home because you came to a workshop about how to keep your home in order. And you chose yourself because you're here today for you, or you came with a friend to encourage them to make those choices that count. Be encouraged. Just find that one thing you can leave here today with and apply it to your life and make it count. I brought a couple books that are some things that have encouraged me, and I'll share them with you since you have that great 20% off at the end of the day. Try not to trip over this cord here. This is a great one called Finding More Time in Your Life by Drew Scott Decker, with wisdom from the Bible and tools that fit your personality. This is a great one. It's a little bit heavy, I'll just warn you. It gets very in-depth and very detailed, but it's a good one. Elizabeth George is a great resource. Elizabeth George, Emily Barnes, I have loved these books. I've used them from before I was married and since I've been married, and just great godly encouragement. A Woman After God's Own Heart and A Wife After God's Own Heart. She also has another one, Life Management for Busy Women. It's a great one. Really good, practical, and applicable tools, things that you can walk away with and do. And this is a great one, too, by Marcia Ramsland, Simplify Your Time, Stop Running and Start Living. Also a great one. You're welcome to come up here and look at any one of these. If you want to look at any of the devotions that I suggested, you're welcome to. You could even come up and read today's if you want. Streams in the Desert spoke exactly to what we're talking about today. And I thought, for me, that was a great gift from the Lord, that he kind of confirmed that. So, I really want to encourage you, find that one thing that you can do, choosing him, choosing home, choosing herself, and then apply it and do that. And let's pray and ask the Lord to help us to do that. Heavenly Father, God, you are an awesome God. You are a mighty God. And how blessed are we that you meet us right where we are at. No matter what our circumstances, no matter what our schedule, no matter what our lives, Father, you are there. You are there in our midst, and you meet us. And Father, we do want to make those choices that count. We want to make those choices that glorify you. We want to choose you first. We want to sit before you and hear from you, Lord. It's where you meet us. It's where you speak to our hearts and encourage us. We want to choose home. We want to be that woman who's wise and watches over the things of her household. We want to build our houses up, Lord, not tear them down. Help us to do that. Show us the ways. Show us what works for us individually, for our home, for our family. And we want to take that time for ourselves. We want to be wise. We want to seek you, Lord. We want to find that thing that you've placed closest to us. We want to be in your word. We want to fellowship with friends. We want to get involved, Lord. We want to get plugged in and be a part, an active, participating part of your body, Lord. So help us find that one thing. Speak to our hearts. Encourage us. Show it to us. Help us apply it, Lord. Remind us to do it. And we commit it all back to you, Lord, because ultimately we do it all for your glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you, ladies. Thank you.